Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu salam ala rasulillah. Ramadan has come upon you, gladly received and cherished, adding to its majesty and enhancing its beauty. This month arrived bearing hunger and thirst. You see food before you. Your soul desires it, your hand can reach it, yet you do not eat it. Thirst burns within your core. Water is all around you, yet you do not quench your thirst. Drowsiness overtakes you, and sleep embraces your eyelids, and then Ramadan came to awaken you for your pre-dawn meal. These are lessons in patience and perseverance. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fasting is half of patience, and purification is half of iman." So congratulations to the fasting person. They are rewarded for their thirst and hunger by the one who does not wrong anyone by so much as an atom's weight. Allah Almighty said, "That is because they are not afflicted by thirst or fatigue or hunger in the cause of Allah, nor do they tread on any ground that enrages the disbelievers, nor do they inflict upon an enemy any infliction, but that it is registered for them as a righteous deed. Indeed, Allah does not allow to be lost the reward of the doers of good." Ramadan has come so that people may turn in repentance to their Lord and head to His houses to enliven them with the night prayers and remembrance. Across the earth, masjids are brimming with worshippers standing in unison, their feet lined up, their foreheads touching the floor at the same time. The rich and the poor, the humble and the noble, the pauper and the minister, together they all humble themselves before Allah, and He in turn through this humility grants them honor above all people, provided their intention is sincere and their action are in accordance with the sunnah. No wonder, whoever humbles themselves before Allah is elevated by Allah. Whoever is a devoted, obedient servant of Allah, Allah makes him eminent among the people. And whoever is with Allah by following His ordainments and adhering to His commands and prohibitions, Allah is with them by granting them victory, success, and forgiveness. Through this, the beloved companions prevailed over others, attained glory in every way. They established a state whose nobility, excellence, generosity, and justice history has never matched. So what remains after the truth except error? Indeed, they were not empty vessels. They are always remembered when Ramadan is mentioned, and Ramadan is mentioned whenever they are remembered. For in this month, the Quran was revealed to the best of humanity, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quran is one's life upon death and their light in darkness. Ramadan is the month of love and harmony. Therefore, during it, let your hearts be more accommodating, your tongues more gentle, and distant yourselves from quarreling and evil. If you see a mistake from your family, then bear it. If you find a gap, then close it and be patient upon it. If someone initiates a quarrel with you, then do not respond in kind. Rather, respond, "I am fasting." Otherwise, how could anyone who scorns such etiquette hope for the reward of fasting, when they refrain from permissible food, yet break their fast on what is forbidden? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Whoever does not abandon false speech and acting upon it, then Allah has no need for him to leave his food and drink." People's relationship with Ramadan varies and truly spans a very wide range. Among them are those who view Ramadan as nothing more than a form of deprivation without benefit, a religious ritual with no basis. Thus, they are intent upon breaking their fast during it, whether they do so openly or secretly. These are among those who have disbelieved after having believed and increased in their disbelief. They believe that fasting suppresses freedom, which in their view means the unrestrained pursuit of desires and passions, indulging in them without limit or restriction. Far from it, this freedom is a deception. First of all, it amounts to nothing but chaos, and in the end, it is humiliating enslavement of the body. There are also some who regard Ramadan merely as unbearable hunger and severe thirst beyond what they can endure. They are weary at the mere mention of Ramadan. Its arrival is a burden to them, and its completion is a struggle. They regard it as a restrictive shackle upon their desires and lusts, so they fast it reluctantly. Such people and their likes have missed out on the sweetness of Iman and the joy of the righteous in submitting to the Creator in His commands and decrees. Allah Almighty said, "And your Lord creates what He wills and chooses. Not for them was the choice. Allah is exalted and high above what they associate with Him. O Allah, make our outcome good in all matters and save us from the disgrace of this world and the torment of the hereafter." There are those who see Ramadan as a yearly occasion for tables filled with all kinds of varieties of foods and an opportunity for amusement and late-night gatherings stretching until dawn, so that their days become like their nights. They live in perpetual darkness and their eyes are fatigued and strained from prolonged wakefulness. Ramadan has come to them while the Muslims' misfortunes are many. These people's ultimate act of piety during this month is an empty pursuit of trivial and questionable entertainment without regard for moral considerations. Activities that undermine or destroy any remaining sense of modesty, chastity, or genuine religiosity, worthy of encouragement and support. Allah Almighty said, "And most of the people, although you strive for it, are not believers. As for the minority of people, although they are many, by Allah's grace, see in Ramadan something entirely different, far more exalted. They see it as divine refinement through Allah consciousness, gracious generosity, and noble patience. They understand it as a series of lessons for every generation. Lessons one cannot learn in schools or universities. These are the ones who truly benefit from Ramadan, who find in its daytime the delight of true virtue and genuine freedom, as well as perseverance in difficulty. These and their likes are those for whom the doors of paradise are opened and the doors of hellfire are closed. They are the ones who exit Ramadan with their sins forgiven and their mistakes atoned. Those of lofty souls, honorable aims, noble purpose, and a rightly guided heart. Indeed, they are the ones who rectify conditions and bring joy to communities. How badly the Muslim Ummah needs people like them in every time, in every place. Some Muslim youth fast by merely refraining from food. They drift through Ramadan without making use of it or using their time for that which benefits and enriches them. Remaining in this sorry state creates persistent problems for both their families and society. We are in need of rectifying their character, elevating their thinking, curbing their aimlessness and wasting their time in vain, and convincing them that idleness leads to ruin. As for the Muslim woman, she is man's counterpart. Indeed, she is half of society, and she gives birth to the other half, so it is as if she is an entire society unto herself. Should our activity in Ramadan be limited to cooking and delving into the culinary arts and variety of drinks? Or should she be roaming constantly clothed yet unclothed, tempting and being tempted, while giving no thought to drawing near to her Creator through recitation of the Quran, supplicatory prayers, charity, enjoining good or forbidding evil? In her home and family, where her leadership is recognized, has she forgotten that she is the nurturer of virtuous generations? A woman's role in observing Ramadan has never been less than that of a man's. The mother of believers themselves joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in whatever he would do, be it fasting, praying at night, giving, or generosity. Al-Bukhari narrated, "When the last 10 nights of Ramadan began, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tighten his waist strap, that is, exert himself, spend his night in worship, and wake up his family." Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "If I realize which night is the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, what should I say in it?" He sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "O Allah, indeed you are pardoning and love to pardon, so pardon me. So be conscious of Allah, and show Allah what you can do during this blessed month. Truly, Allah has special blessings, and whoever misses out on them misses out on much good. Rejoice in the words of the Chosen One sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hadith Qudsi. Allah Mighty and Exalted said, "Fasting is for me, and I will grant its reward." We ask Allah Almighty to accept our fasting, night prayers, and all of our good deeds. Indeed, Allah is all hearing, answering. هذا وصلاة السلام على رسول الله.